This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Wednesday, July 11th. I'm Jeff Bossert. Coming up, looking for new sources for an alternative fuel, and a look at your AM 580 weather forecast for Champaign-Urbana, but first, today's news. Because Democrats in control of state government did not pass a budget before a May 31st deadline, Republican votes are needed to pass a new spending plan. Illinois Governor Rod Blagojevich is trying to bypass them, though, and is advocating a way to get his agenda through without support from the GOP. Amanda Vinicky has the story.
Blagojevich's big push is to give every Illinois resident health insurance. He also wants to increase school funding. But that will take money, and lots of it. And Republicans, as well as the Democratic Speaker of the House, want to hold the line on spending. Both sides have been unwilling to back off those positions. Blagojevich says he has a way around the deadlock. He still wants a massive expansion of health care, but says he could wait until next summer to start the program. With a later start time, Democrats could pass it on their own. Blagojevich says it's all contingent on the willingness of House Speaker Mike Madigan to go along with the plan.
That we can do it ourselves. And since you can pass anything you want, why don't you just join us, be a Democrat again, support funding education, and support funding health care?
Despite Blagojevich putting the blame on Madigan, though, Democrats had since January to approve universal health care and evidently never had the support for it to pass. For his part, Speaker Madigan says he believes lawmakers are fed up and frustrated that the governor doesn't grasp the reality of the situation. I'm Amanda Vinicky.
Indiana Governor Mitch Daniels has ordered the Department of Local Government Finance to investigate what he calls an unexplained disparity between residential assessments and those for commercial and industrial property in many counties. He says the state will not approve budgets for 25 counties until commercial and industrial assessments have been further analyzed. In Marion County, 11 taxpayers filed a lawsuit yesterday saying assessments will result in unfairly thrusting tens of millions of dollars in new county spending onto homeowners. Property taxes for homeowners are expected to increase an average of 24% statewide, but some relief will come later in the form of rebate checks. Daniels has placed much of the blame for the increases on local government spending. The Champaign City Council last night endorsed amendments to the liquor code designed to limit binge drinking, especially among college students. AM 580's Jim Meadows has more.
Untrained celebrity bartenders and bars hosting private parties that are actually special promotions open to the public for a fee, these are practices that Champaign City officials say encourage patrons at certain campus town bars to drink too much without enough supervision. They say the same for shot girls selling pre-poured hard liquor to customers at their tables. Councilwoman Gina Jackson says that practice means fewer customers walk up to the bar to order drinks where the bartender can check their condition.
If a patron can sit down and have the drinks continually brought to them, the bartender won't have the opportunity to see if the patron is ambulatory, if they're slurring, or they're swaying back and forth.
Champaign council members rejected proposals to ban such practices 2 weeks ago, but because one amendment might have passed if not for two council members, Jackson and Mike Ledoux, being absent, the proposals automatically came up for another vote last night. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
The liquor amendments will come back to the Champaign City Council for a final vote next month. Carl Foundation Hospital continues to make preparations in the event of bioterrorism or a similar incident. A $285,000 federal grant will assist in a number of areas, including the proper evacuation of patients. The hospital has purchased 8 stair chairs that allow staff to safely escort patients down a flight of stairs. They use a track system around their wheels, operating similar to the way a tank does. Hospital Director of Disaster Preparedness, Anita Guffey, says these chairs are much safer for all involved.
Wheelchairs typically do not have straps to strap the patient in, so we would have to find something to secure the patient in. We used two-man carries. Fire departments assist with that, with us very much. We utilize things like blanket carries. Again, not safe for the rescuer or for the patient, so this is much better.
The hospital also has used the grant to purchase additional isolation equipment in the event of a disease outbreak, as well as image-based software. The Visual DX program will enable physicians to enter basic observations about a patient, and the system will quickly respond with medical photographs of over 700 diseases. Carle Foundation Hospital serves as the area's lead facility in the event of a disaster. A TV reporter who lost her job in Chicago after being videotaped wearing a swimsuit at the home of a man who his estranged wife is missing says she's devastated. Former WMAQ TV reporter Amy Jacobson tells the Chicago Sun-Times she knows she made a lapse in judgment, but she thought the station would suspend her and then support her. The video posted on a rival TV station website shows Jacobson wearing a halter bikini top and towel near the pool at Craig Stebbick's suburban Plainfield home. For the latest newscast online, go to wiol.uiuc.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Jeff Bosser. The U.S. is looking for ways to depend less on foreign oil and reduce greenhouse gas emissions. A popular method is so-called biofuels. Those are fuels such as ethanol or biodiesel made from plants. Cleaner-burning biodiesel has been billed as an environmentally friendly replacement for our 60 billion gallon a year thirst for diesel oil. But there aren't enough crops or land to produce enough biodiesel to replace fossil fuel-based diesel. Amy Quinton reports new research is looking at another way to make biodiesel. Using algae.
Biodiesel is made primarily from plant oils, soybean, canola, rapeseed. Ihab Farag is a chemical engineering professor at the University of New Hampshire. He climbs up scaffolding to demonstrate a processor that turns waste oil from the university's cafeteria into biodiesel. Farag says this is more environmentally friendly than diesel.
It's coming from vegetable oils, therefore it's cleaner, it doesn't have the sulfur in it, so you don't get the acid rain issues that you get from diesel. It doesn't do particulates, which are, you know, suspected to be cancer-causing.
Almost any diesel engine built in the last 15 years can use biodiesel, but Farag says there's a major drawback. It takes an acre of most crops to produce only 100 gallons of biodiesel per year.
I think it has been estimated that if we are using just things like soybean and want to produce biodiesel for the whole country, we need an area of land that's about 2.5 to 3 times the area of Texas.
That would be an environmental nightmare because biofuels require a lot of fossil fuels to plant, harvest, and process them. They only produce a bit more energy than the energy needed to make them. It also would put the nation's fuel needs in conflict with its food needs. That could drive the price of both sky high. So Farag and Master Chemical Engineering student Justin Ferrantino are looking at another plant, one that's capable of producing much more oil, algae. Inside the university's biodiesel lab, Ferrantino holds up a glass jar filled with a sea green powder.
These freeze-dried cells that we've grown up in our photobioreactor.
He's testing different ways of extracting oil from these single-celled algae plants to produce the most biodiesel.
People have projected that with microalgae, you could grow somewhere between 5 and 15,000 gallons per acre per year. So it's a big difference.
Compared to 100 gallons per acre of soybeans, it's a very big difference. Ferrantino has built a contraption of two small fiberglass tanks surrounded by fluorescent lights and reflectors. It's called a photobioreactor. With the right amount of light, the algae here grows rapidly.
When I fill these with growth medium and then I add the cells to them, they just multiply and they double every 10 to 15 hours when they're growing exponentially.
The more cells, the more oil, and the more biodiesel. Ferrantino's photobioreactor is small, producing only a tenth of a gram of biodiesel. But build one on a larger scale, where there's lots of sunlight, like the desert southwest, and it could potentially produce thousands of gallons on just an acre of land. And Farag says because carbon is needed to fertilize algae growth, the potential exists to remove greenhouse gases while simultaneously producing biodiesel.
If we can connect it with a wastewater treatment plant where they have a lot of waste coming in with lots of carbon in it, then you can consume the carbon to grow the algae, and at the same time you clean up the wastewater.
But skeptics say one of the biggest challenges is making algae production economical. Commercial production would initially yield fuel that could cost between $20 and $50 a gallon. Ferrantino recognizes the drawbacks, but says their research is worth pursuing.
I think that our energy needs aren't necessarily going to be solved with a magic bullet, but I think this is certainly one part of it, being that you don't need arable land. You have the added benefit of maybe being able to use the carbon from flue gases from power plants, maybe being able to treat wastewater. So it has some significant added benefits, so it could be one piece of the energy picture.
But growing algae in the desert or anywhere else doesn't have the kind of political appeal that subsidizing farmers to grow soybeans for soy diesel does. So finding funding for a commercial-size algae bioreactor will face significant obstacles. For the Environment Report, I'm Amy Quinton.
In the forecast for East Central Illinois, sunny skies today with a high around 78. Mostly clear this evening, the low around 58 degrees. Cooler conditions the next couple of days, mostly sunny tomorrow morning, partly sunny, a chance of showers in the afternoon, the high around 80 degrees, mostly cloudy Thursday evening, a chance of showers and thunderstorms, the low around 58. Friday, mostly sunny, the high in the upper 70s. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Wednesday, July 11th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, as well as other helpful information at our website, will.uiuc.edu. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.